Geronimo Valley Community Center, online at sgvcc.org. It's time for Epicenter here on KWMR. Please stay tuned. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m., featuring a wide array of community and public affairs. Today is Monday. I'm your host, Amanda Eichstead, and joining me today will be Lainey Hendricks, Public Information Officer from the County of Marin, and then Dr. Lisa Santora, also from the County of Marin, but from Health and Human Services. Hello, Lainey. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hey, good morning and happy Monday. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good to hear. Another week has gone by. No rain on the horizon.
Oh, yeah. That's, man, met with such mixed emotions, I'll be honest with you, because I am a...
Are you a sun baby?
Sunshine. I know. I was really hesitating because it's like I don't know that everybody agrees with that approach, but I do love a healthy dose of nature's vitamin D. And although I try to be really good about the sunscreen part, so I love the sun, but I'm also looking out on the hillside and recognizing that that vibrant green is getting a bit more pale, and that means fire season. And
I know. It's so crazy because really, I mean, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, We hadn't had these massive catastrophic fires, and we didn't have to plan potentially our vacations around where the fires would be that year. I mean, it's sort of like a complete mind. Our minds have had to do so many shifts in the last several years due to the climate and the fires and the pandemic. We're just going to have such nimble brains until we're old.
That is such a refreshing way to look at it. We are in constant evolution. There will always be new normals every year.
I know. Well, it keeps us on our toes. We're no complacency around here.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's, you know, the weather has been great. There isn't any rain, unfortunately, but at least for the time being, while there still is some moisture in the ground, it's great to, you know, get outside, get that sunshine, really get that refresh as it relates to that mental and physical wellness. So I know I definitely got outside this weekend and did a little work in the garden, and it was great.
I know. I've actually started some seeds in my greenhouse, and I'm so skeptical. I've had such terrible luck with gardening over the years, but I went in and there they were. Little tiny sprouts are coming up to turn into plants. So I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful for my garden this year.
That is awesome. Good news.
Yeah.
Good news.
So what's...
Maybe there will be an offshoot of a garden show for us here in the future. You never know.
I know. We could sub in for Lyons and Susan Hayes. So Lainey, what's going on in the world of public information with the County of Marin?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many things going on. I don't even know where to start. Now, I know Dr. Lisa's going to be on here shortly, and so I'm going to actually hold off on some of the COVID-19 announcements because I know she's going to cover quite a few of those. But looking at news from the County of Marin over the past week, a few things that have happened. First of all, health has been on the mind of our community for well over a year with COVID-19, but you know what? We're always a pretty healthy-minded community, and we received further proof of that from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation recently. You know, they produced a annual report called the County Health Rankings and Roadmap Report, and what they do is they analyze nearly every county in the United States. And they look at five different measures looking to help assess the overall health of a county or health outcomes. And these are things like the rate of people dying before the age of 75 or the percentage of people who reported being in fair to poor health, looking at the rate of low birth weight infants, everything in between. And really what this report does is it confirms the role that factors such as education, jobs, income, and, of course, the environment play when we look at how healthy residents are and what could impact their health and longevity for the future. So Marin County has been a fierce competitor. I'm a little competitive, so that's why I choose that terminology.
Fierce.
In this annual report for many years now, and once again came out as the healthiest county in California, which is huge.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and we excel in a lot of areas, as we already are familiar with, things like quality of life, length of life, access to clinical care, the health behaviors of our residents in terms of those exercise seekers or those healthy eaters or whatever it may be. But with that, you know, these rankings also, they don't necessarily turn a blind eye to some of the not so great things. And that's what we like to use this report as, is kind of a metric of where we can improve. And so the report also recognized that we do have areas of income inequality. Obviously, we know we have an ongoing housing issue here in Marin County, and that does impact the overall health of our community in terms of the living conditions, those heavily concentrated living conditions. We talk about low-income inequality. You know, those can really factor as to whether you could afford quality health care or even access, because can you take time off? Can you afford to take time off from your job to go to the doctor?
Well,
like
don't.
That.
It's amazing these things. I mean, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm pleased that Marin rated so well. But I also think that if nothing pointed it out greater than the pandemic, those are exactly the areas of opportunity that the county is really looking at now due to COVID, not just from a report from Robert Wood Johnson.
Right. You're absolutely right. It kind of reaffirms what we already knew and what the COVID-19 pandemic, I mean, if the layers had not already been peeled back, it ripped them off.
And
these are not, it's not something that the pandemic caused necessarily. Matter of fact, the ratings weren't even based on anything having to do with the pandemic. So it will be interesting to see the rankings in a few years when we start to really see the effects of the pandemic. But you're absolutely right.
Well, and hopefully we'll be able to take a look at that in a few years and see that some of the inequality and those issues that were pointed out have been able to be dealt with through creative means by the County of Marin.
Absolutely. So fingers crossed on that. I know the county is putting a lot of effort into that equity work, whether we're looking at fair housing, other job opportunities, access to health care, and everything in between. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm optimistic that hopefully in a few years we'll start to see progress in the right direction.
Great to hear. That is good news. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's a happy kind of kickoff, and to yay Marin, keep it healthy. You know, some people also love keeping their minds busy as a source for health. And I know that our libraries have been an excellent resource for individuals, whether it be utilizing our curbside services that our library branches have offered throughout the pandemic, or utilizing a lot of the digital offerings that are available at marinlibrary.org. And it continues to astound me, just of all the cool digital things you can get your hands on or training. Like, I love to learn and kind of push myself to grow. So some of the free trainings that otherwise, if you didn't have a library card, you have to pay a lot of money for, it's just very cool. Well, with that, though, I know that some people miss being able to browse the racks of books, or just that, you know what I'm talking about, Amanda. You walk into a library, you crack open a book, and yes, books have smells, but libraries have that just awesome aura about them too. Well, I'm happy to announce that many of the Marin County Free Library branches will be reopening very soon for in-person indoor visits.
Now, so that means you can do some browsing.
Yeah, you can walk through the racks of books, browse the different sections, see what the newest editions are that have come into your local branch. Now, it's going to be limited, so those patrons that come to visit the library will be asked to stay no more than 30 minutes, so it is going to be kind of brief browsing, but it sure does beat the alternative. And with that, and also those reduced capacity limits, that's just so we can ensure all of those continuing public health protocols are maintained, so that there's plenty of space for physical distancing while you're in the library. And, of course, we are going to ask our patrons to continue wearing their mask when they're indoors as well. But this is exciting for West Marin, because this means that those people who love to visit either the Bolinas or the Inverness, Point Reyes, or even the Stinson Beach Branch, all four of those will be opening up.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. So yeah. Do you know which ones are not going to be open?
So right now, it's mainly those that are over the hill. So
okay.
Civic Center, Corte Madera, Marin City, and South Novato. Those four locations still do not have reopening dates as of yet, but they will very soon. But the ones that are reopening beginning the week of April 19th is Bolinas, Fairfax, Inverness, Novato, Point Reyes Station, and Stinson Beach. And so the hours will vary by location, and so we encourage everybody to surf on over to marinlibrary.org before visiting, just to kind of get a lay of the land and understand kind of what the hours will be and also which service offerings that particular branch will provide. But it's just really exciting for those that have really wanted to get back in the library and browse at their leisure for their next great read.
That's great. Do you know if curbside is still available for those who aren't interested in going in?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So all locations will continue to offer that curbside service, although the hours may change a little bit for those branches that are reopening. So, again, check out marinlibrary.org. They have, you know, their little branch library section that really lays out the details for each individual county library branch. And they also offer a link to other libraries in Marin County, those that may be operated by cities or by educational institutions, because I know Marin residents often love to go browse there as well. It's really your one-stop resource to know what all your libraries are up to.
Great. Thank you for that information. I'm sure there are many happy library patrons at this time.
Right. Absolutely. So I think those are kind of the big things. You know, we are seeing a period of evolution in our community development agency, if I'm going to shift gears to one other news point before Dr. Lisa joins us. I know many West Marin residents and many KWMR listeners are very involved in the planning efforts of the county, whether it be that Coast Guard housing project near Point Reyes and other various elements of fair housing and everything in between. And so our community development agency department head, Brian Crawford, retired late last year, and we've been on the hunt for the right replacement. And we're really proud to announce that Tom Lai, who has served with the county actually for 29 years and has been sort of second in command.
He looks so young.
Right.
29 years? What's his secret? Good Lord.
I mean, I feel like this is where you, like, insert the joke about labor laws if we hire him when he was 12.
Yeah, seriously. Okay. Well, I hope he's listening.
Right. But, you know, it's really a wonderful choice because Tom, and I'm sure many West Marin residents who have been so passionately involved in a lot of these planning efforts over the years will recognize Tom's name because he has been very hands-on in meeting with communities and understanding their concerns and trying to find amicable solutions. So we couldn't be more thrilled that he raised his hand to enter the applicant pool and that he came out on top as our top choice. So he will be taking the reins he's already the interim director, but will officially be the director of the Community Development Agency here in just a few weeks. So really proud to see Tom rise to that occasion. And again, because the West Marin community has been so involved for great reasons, I'm sure many of them will be happy to see Tom in this position as well.
That's great. So, Lainey, are you and your colleagues all continuing to work remotely?
It varies. It varies. So I'm in a position where I do a hybrid. So I happen to be home today. But last week, for example, I worked 3 days in office. So there are many of us that are doing sort of this hybrid approach because we also are trying to take measures to enforce physical distancing and that sort of thing within our office. But there are others that are back full time because of the nature of their jobs or, you know, whatever else it may be. So it's kind of a mixed approach.
Yeah, I got it. I'm just trying to understand how everybody's sort of navigating this reentry, which is actually can be really kind of challenging in many ways. And I think it's good to recognize that, you know, we kind of got into a mode of hunker and, you know, shelter. And now this reemergence can be hard on folks. And I think it's important to recognize that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I actually saw an article recently from a mental health publication encouraging employers to take that hybrid approach because it can be difficult, not only just having been in, you know, maybe isolation or solitude by the nature of, you know, you've really stayed at home and maybe you're just, you know, a party of one or a couple or whatever. And then that reintroduction into the public's mind, especially for those of us that are introverts. Yes, I'm a little bit of an introvert, believe it or not.
Hey, wait, are you an ambivert?
Ooh, I don't even know what that is.
I figured it out. That's what I am. So basically, I have an extroverted channel, but I do need a lot of restorative introverted time in order to maintain that. And that is an ambivert.
Interesting. I'm going to have to research this. I don't know if I'm fully there, but I definitely have qualities of both.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to look that up. Thank you. But with that, you know, that is that you bring up that part about restorative and jumping back into the mix of, you know, interacting with people and being around a lot of people can be high stress for those that are introverts. But also some people, I mean, if you think about it, we're out of practice, right? We haven't been around people. So to be in this mix from a public health standpoint, you know, it's a little weird, especially not knowing who's been vaccinated and maybe the person themselves haven't yet had an opportunity to be vaccinated. So there might be some concerns there. So, again, it all goes down to providing that opportunity to have a gradual return, a hybrid return, as it makes sense for that particular employee.
And I think the flexibility is great and utilizing so many of the skills that people have had to develop with different technologies, different approaches, different communication methods over this past year. I think there are some silver linings to that.
Yes. And I'm hoping that, you know, we retain some of the digital practices that we've honed over the past year. I can say I can't speak for the county as a whole, but at least within the departments and counties I work most frequently with prior to the pandemic, there were, you know, a lot of the Zoom networking and things like that wasn't highly used. And it really helps if we talk about efficiencies in terms of people not having to drive over the hill.
I know. I mean,
to a 1 hour meeting or whatever.
It's pretty amazing. When the travel time would be longer than the meeting, it was hard to justify. Well, I believe we're being joined by Dr. Lisa Santora. Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the airwaves.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Lainey, I will let you scoot on out and I will talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care, man.
All right. Thank you, Lainey Hendricks, Public Information Officer for the County of Marin. Oh, Dr. Lisa, welcome to the airwaves. How are you?
I'm doing great on this lovely day.
I hope you had a nice spring break with your family.
I did. I got to be a full-time mom, which I haven't been for 15 months. So it's always good to be a full-time mom some days.
Right. Well, what's happening on the COVID front for the County of Marin? Lainey was great and talked quite a bit about the Marin County Robert Wood Johnson designation as healthiest county in Marin, but we do know we're still dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, we are excited. In addition to being the healthiest county, we continue to lead the state in vaccinations. That's what's going to keep us healthy as we navigate our way to the end of this pandemic. And I just saw our most updated data today, and that 68% of Marin County residents over the age of 60.
Oops. Of
the vaccine. And so we are on our way to true herd or community immunity. And so I think that's just something to be excited about, although to caution that we still have a very severe reduction in doses from the state. So we continue to navigate increasing eligibility and achieving the goal of vaccinating all in Marin with very limited vaccine doses.
Why is
some people are still struggling?
Right. Well, and on the 15th, which is just a few days away, it's going to open up for even more people who are eligible. Why is there such a reduction in supply of vaccines?
Well, we think it's a lot of reasons as usual, but what we're seeing is that the federal supply is divided up in a couple of ways. And so the state gets its allocation, but the federal government is also allocating directly to other resources like your CVSs and Safeways, which is a great thing. But that just creates, it's not the most organized delivery system when you have multiple streams of vaccine supply going into different communities with different capacity for mass vaccination. And our success in Marin County has been through mass vaccination efforts, having these large clinics where we can vaccinate up to, you know, 2,000 people a day at our Marin Center. Actually, it's increasing. We could probably go up with expanded hours to 3,000 to 4,000 people a day. And so I think that's the challenge, is it's not the most coordinated distribution model across the nation.
Well, that's unfortunate. So folks who are either eligible now or will be eligible soon should definitely, you know, stay on target with trying to get an appointment, but realize that it might be out in the future a little bit.
Right. And we believe we are 3 weeks away from vaccinating all in Marin who want to be vaccinated. So if you want to be vaccinated and you're a Marin County resident, you're almost there, even though vaccine appointments are still going to be hard to find, especially as eligibility increases statewide on the 15th. Again, it's all a good thing, but I just saw a news report myself around how people are successful in getting vaccine appointments. And most times it's just being at the right place at the right time online to schedule that appointment. And that's why for us in Marin County Public Health, our priority is really focusing on those hard to reach populations who don't have access to the internet or may have language barriers to accessing appointments, to making sure that they have reduced barriers to getting vaccinated. And that's our role in public health. But many people are just, you know, on the MyTurn system, and they just happen to be lucky when, you know, 50 appointments get posted at a certain site, they can find that site.
Got it. So in terms of our behavior, it should remain pretty much the same regardless of your vaccination status.
Yes, we're not there yet in taking those masks off or watching what we're doing. We still need to stay vigilant. We are also excited because we haven't yet seen that fourth wave hit Marin County. That being said, we just this weekend had a bunch of people who have returned from travel outside of the state and to different countries. And so we're expecting to see on Friday and throughout this next weekend, a bunch of people getting tested. And hopefully when people did travel, they were very vigilant, and they, even if they're out of California, they pretended like they are in California, wore their mask and stayed outdoors and limited gatherings. But what we're going to be very much looking forward to seeing what happens this weekend when people do get tested to return to school after they're following their quarantine orders, and to see if there's an uptick in positivity in the county based on the travel during the spring break.
Right. Those are the types of things that would cause spikes in cases in the past.
And we do have that other variant of concern. It was a press release last week and this is not unexpected. We've expected that it's been circulating in Marin County, not at the same levels, but that B1117 variant that came out of the UK in December. We had our first two confirmed cases in Marin County. And this is a more transmissible disease. And this is why we're in that race to vaccinate our entire population before more variants of concern can emerge, which may have different level of response to a vaccine. So again, this is why we need to stay vigilant. It takes 2 weeks after your second dose to be fully immunized against the vaccine. It's not 100% effective. So we are seeing some of those breakthrough cases with the vaccine. So we just need to stay vigilant until we really see only sporadic cases of COVID-19 circulating in our community.
So in terms of a breakthrough case, which would be if you're fully vaccinated post 2 weeks and you happen to contract COVID, you have some symptoms, you get a test, you test positive, is it likely that you will be much less sick because you
Yeah.
are vaccinated?
Absolutely. And that's one of the primary reasons. It's not 100%, again, force field against getting infected with COVID-19, but people who are vaccinated are less likely to be hospitalized or to, go into intensive care or sadly have result in death. So this is one of the primary reasons we do get vaccinated. Again, it's not a force field protecting you from any exposure to COVID-19, but your body is ready to have an immune response and prevent more severe disease occurring if you do get infected with COVID-19.
Which is why the masks, the hand washing, the social distancing, being outdoors is still recommended during this time.
Absolutely. Until it truly is sporadic. We still have moderate levels of COVID-19 activity in our community. And even though we're seeing cases go down, our percent go down, we're still just in that orange tier. And so, again, our goal is to stay orange and hopefully never go back to red, but it's really going to depend on these next couple of weeks of staying vigilant, all those protective measures, until what we're going to be seeing statewide is our state's going to be opening up in June, but these next 2 months are critical for us to get to that moment in June when we might someone to go to Six Flags. So we do have that in our future, but we need these next couple of weeks just to stay vigilant so we can achieve community immunity across the state. And remember, Marin County is leading, and there's still many parts of the state and nation that are lagging in the vaccination rates. So
right, and on the globe, too. I mean, it really needs,
because
it's a global pandemic, we really need these vaccination rates to be high all over the entire world. So I wanted to ask you, Dr. Lisa, what was my question? I had it. It just slid right out of my head. It was, if you are fully vaccinated, can you still be asymptomatic and spread COVID to others? Or have they been able to do any studies to say that you are less likely to have COVID?
You are less likely to have COVID if you have been vaccinated. So they were hesitant in the beginning on making that statement, again, because this is emerging science. We're a part of a major international research study on vaccinations. But we do see, we've seen even in our own community, that vaccinations reduce the transmissibility of the disease and the likelihood that you would carry, one, the likelihood that you would get infected because it's circulating less in the community. Two, the likelihood if you do get infected that you have some symptoms that result in more transmission. So productive cough and other symptoms, which is why it's a respiratory illness and that's how it gets transmitted. So again, it is effective in reducing both the transmission and the severity of disease.
Should you continue to be tested once you are fully vaccinated?
It depends where you work. So that's what's getting changed on a regular basis. Most employers have to follow Cal OSHA rules and also state requirements. So if you're working in a skilled nursing facility, you still need to get tested, even if you've been vaccinated. The challenge, though, is when we're vaccinating and there's lower when we're vaccinated and there's lower prevalence of disease in the community, we have a higher risk of false positives. So that's something that we are navigating ourselves right now with many people who are getting tested. They've been vaccinated, and we are seeing false positives. So that's one of the new work of our team is just managing people back to work if they have a fault, if they're still required to complete testing as a part of, you know, it's under licensing or some other Cal OSHA requirement.
So would multiple tests prove that otherwise? Is that, you know, you have one with that's a false positive. Would subsequent tests prove that test was
if
wrong?
The tests are done in the right time frame.
Okay.
So, because the other thing is we have different types of tests. So, for example, you can have a BinaxNOW test, which is your antigen test, and that tests positive. But then it can you can have a PCR test that tests negative. And so that's when we do think it's a false. And if it's done within 24 hours, those two tests, we would call that a false positive.
Gotcha.
So really, in those scenarios, we're working closely with our public health nurses and doctors to help people navigate to understand if it's a false positive or false negative test.
And as you said, it's an ongoing, basically, research to understand this better, this whole COVID better.
Right. And to remember, everything that's been approved, these are not gold standard tests. These are emergency use authorization tests and emergency use authorization vaccinations. So this is an emergency. We're using the best tools that we have, but we always have to be aware that it's not 100% effective vaccine. We're going to be learning more 6 months from now about do we need booster shots or
right.
what is the role of vaccination in our future? And then even for testing is, you know, how does testing change as we move forward in the pandemic?
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Lisa, for taking the time out to answer these questions and bring this important information to the listeners of KWMR.
Well, thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, and you can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thanks for listening. High-speed internet services for KWMR are underwritten by Horizon Cable, cablecasting KWMR on Television Channel 47 in Point Reyes Station, Olema, Inverness Park, Inverness, and Dillon Beach. Online.